Welcome to Collections by Michelle Brown Blog Radio. I'm your host, Michelle Brown. This is the podcast connecting people living between the lines, standing boldly in the crosshairs of their intersectionality and creating change. Since 2017, we've shared the stories of over 100 individuals from every walk of life from across the country and beyond. Collections by Michelle Brown Radio partners with nonprofits, creatives, and other organizations to spread the good news that we're all stronger together. Our current partner is the Esteem Awards Pride Index. The Esteem Awards is a 501c3 organization dedicated to promoting positive images of LGBTQ communities and allies. Since 2007, the Esteem Awards has honored over 300 local and national organizations, individuals, and others for their continued efforts in supporting the areas of entertainment, media, and civil rights. Katie Imani Williams will always be a Detroiter. Her roots in Detroit's LGBTQ community as an activist and advocate are long and deep. Even though she now calls Las Vegas home, her love for and by those who have known her over the years remains strong. Not one to sit on her laurels, this queer Black womanist continues to leave her mark as a certified creative artist and holistic wellness life coach. A survivor of child sexual abuse, she's the author of Root Work, Triumph Over Trauma, and the follow-up book, 7 Years in Vegas. She loves to dance. And if you're in Vegas and want to get married, well, she's got you covered too. Healer, author, friend, and forever a Detroiter. Imani, welcome back to Collections by Michelle Brown Blog Radio.
Well, thank you, Queen. What an amazing introduction. Wow, I got to meet that lady. Thank you so much.
I think about it. Yeah. I mean, we go back many, many, many years. I mean, you know, yep. And it's like, but when talking to you, it's like it was yesterday.
Yes, yes. Always good to talk with you, even better to see you, and we're going to make sure that happens very soon.
Definitely. So, my Detroiter sister, okay, you're in Las Vegas. I know you come home when you can. How's life in Vegas?
Vegas is a very interesting and sometimes very stressful place to reside. The focus here for industry is so heavily based in tourism and getting those tourism dollars that I think sometimes the residents are forgotten. With that being said, it has been the arts community that keeps me here. Because Vegas can look strange. It really can.
You know, and it's true because most people think of Vegas as someplace you go and come back, but they don't think about people who live there. You
know? Right.
Mm-hmm. Were you surprised to find that artist community?
I was on the lookout for an artist community, and it just so happened that when I landed here, I landed in the arts district. So that opened up the doors to open mics on any given night and really kind of built in community. And if you know anything about me, which you do, you know that like community is everything to me because it is so easy to either disappear yourself because of all the loudness that's here all the time. I mean, like tourists come in 3-4 times a week from all over the world, and that's what Vegas does. But if you have to live here in it and you're not a part of that enterprise, it just can be a higher place without a lot of social service structure built in. Who are just unhoused and just out here, and if it's a super big event there, just kind of swept off the streets for a while. You know what I mean? And I just think that I would love to see more humanity here, and so I do my part through Creative Healing Arts to do that, because so many people here are also transplants. And so there's this mix of people who might be third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh generation person of color here in Vegas versus somebody that, you know, has only been here, you know, 20 years, family's been here 20 years or less. And so there are those intercultural pieces that I think need to be better navigated. And we are so spread out here, and particularly black people, spread out. Vegas is a very small city, but the surrounding communities and areas are very broad. So, you know, it is just very hard to hook up with like-minded people. And so, like, again, I'm very thankful that I landed here in the arts community, and that's where I've been since I've gotten here, since I got here in 2016.
You know, one of the things that I love about you, and you often, like, you post things and you're saying things and you're talking about different things, but mixed in with that is you dancing. What does dancing mean to you?
I think that as a creative, I think that as a Gemini, I think that as a spiritual being, my quest is always to stay as connected as possible to the ancestors, right? Mm-hmm. And there is somebody in my family lineage who has appeared to me in a vision before. Actually, it was three, like, queens, and they were dancing. And this was at, like, the height of a depressive episode. Like, I was just really, really down, and I was praying and using meditation just to hear from God, to hear from the ancestors, to hear from my creator, and they appeared. And so I just always try to honor that. You know, and because I live with chronic arthritis, that is debilitating, it is imperative that I move, that I get some movement in, because if I don't, I'll get up and I won't be able to walk one day, or I'll sit up and I won't be able to get out the bed. So I have to move. So I can't get down like I used to, but my goal is to do a little bit every day. So, yes, ma'am.
Well, you know, I will tell you, I find it inspirational because I've had knee surgery, and you don't go in the next day you are. And some days there have been times when I was like, you know, I could just sit here. But they always tell you, you got to get up, you got to move it and everything. And I'll happen to see you, and you're dancing. I mean, and it's like, hey, and at one point, yeah, I mean, when they sent me home and I had a cane or a walking stick and I felt, you know, I don't want to go out. And there you were. You were dancing with your cane. And
that's
was inspirational to me.
Right. Yes, ma'am. One of my more recent posts, my Alpha Kappa Alpha personal came in town, she and her husband, last week, and they had a busy itinerary, so I said, I at least got to get a hug. So we made plans to meet in between their various shows they were catching. And when I got to the corner of Sahara and Paradise, she was across the street with her cane, and I was walking across the street with my cane. And when we, you know, were pledging, you have probate canes that you make. And so my post said, we've gone from probate canes to walking canes, 40 years of friendship and sisterhood. Because we were just so cute with our canes.
And you know, when I think
balls last year, I have to, I don't leave home without it. I can't take my balls on my hip, you know. So, yeah.
Wow. You know, and you know what? And like somebody said once, you know what? So you have to need the cane to get around. There are people who aren't getting around. So it's like, oh, yeah, you're right.
Right. You got to put that vanity away, clean, because you want to be upright when you're supposed to be upright. And it just lends a little bit of support and security. You know, it does. And we, you know, we need that, and it's okay.
So talk to me about creative healing and how part of, Well, first of all, talk to me about creative healing, but then also I want to get into root work, triumph over trauma.
Creative healing arts is, for me, another way for me to connect with people who are on the path of the healing journey as a survivor. Sometimes, you know, we can get started and we do well, and then we hit a bump. And depending on the topic that you are working on in terms of your healing, I may be able to understand better than someone who has not lived it, perhaps. And so I put out a lot. When we talk about root work, triumph over trauma, I put my heart and soul into that because I really hope that it is something that helps people tap into reclaiming their voice, to getting back their sense of who they are, because I think that the big topics of like grief and loss, whether that's the loss of a loved one or the loss of a relationship or the loss of a career, somewhere we thought we were going to be and where we were going to be rooted in. And the root speaks to the fact that we have to do the work from within. And you do have to peel back those layers that cause the trauma, which is a very scary word for a lot of people. Some people might even say it's just so cliche now. But what it is that particularly, again, as people of color, and as Black people specifically, we have not always embraced the idea of, one, taking what happens inside of the house outside. We were pretty much chastised and threatened with the beating if we ever did that. So we learned how to just hold all these secrets in. And then there's that arm of patriarchy where you also not only have men believing that they rule the world and run the world alone, there are women that support that also. And so as it trickles down to, say, in my case, a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, there were things personally that did not happen that should have happened. Like, I believe that my perpetrator should have been prosecuted. That didn't happen. Like, a police report wasn't even filed. And we dealt with it quietly. But that did not help me to start my healing journey. Like, I needed to talk to a police officer. The report taken. I needed permission to talk about that when my parents did put me in therapy for their divorce. I was sent there to talk about how I was feeling about that. And the doctor didn't, the psychologist never asked the proper questions. If she had, I would have told her, what's wrong with me? Why would my grandfather touch me in a way that's inappropriate? Because I've been told that nobody is supposed to touch me there. And so I had these questions that were not getting answered. And yeah, by 12, it was too late. I was like, I'll figure it out myself. Let's see what happens. I'm going to roll the dice. Didn't work out well, but thank God for getting back on track. But you know what I'm saying? So if I can help somebody avoid falling into some of those same holes that I fell into, whether through obstinance, ignorance, or both, I want to do that. And I believe that that is part of my purpose here on the planet.
Have you found that sometimes, like for people with trauma, it's like a forgotten memory, and sometimes being involved or engaged in something, even like if it's like creative work, writing, drawing, or whatever, it might trigger that? Because I know personally I had something I had just totally forgotten about, and writing about it, and then one night I had this dream, and I mentioned it to a relative, and they said, you remember that? She said, well, you never talked about it, so we just figured you didn't remember it had happened. But do you find that sometimes people just, like, they want to blank out that trauma and they need to find a way to understand?
Yes.
as they are like they are?
Yes, absolutely. And I always say, if you do not deal with it, it will deal with you. So, like I said, it is an awful scary process when we talk about shadow work, where it's just you and that mirror and getting real and pulling back those layers. It's terrifying. Mm-hmm. But if you are the type of person who continues to make the same mistake over and over and over, at some point, you know, we have a responsibility to self of saying, let me take a look at what I'm doing, because clearly I got to be doing something. It has to be another way, because this isn't working. Mm-hmm. And most 9 times out of 10, it has to do with something in our childhood that we have either disassociated ourselves with, totally blocked it out, or we intentionally, when it comes up, block it out. Either way, we're not dealing with it. And so it's going to resurface as you pull back those layers using creative arts techniques. Again, whether that's drawing or singing or writing song lyrics or, heck, even crocheting, my latest hobby, because I come across while I'm sitting there, it's the repetition of the same thing with jewelry making, the repetition of what you're doing. And I write poetry in my head. I'm at work doing this. I'm crocheting, and I'm sitting in the elevator, and I'm making sure guests get where they have to go. But in between them, I'm crocheting, and I'm writing poetry in my head, you know, or I'm figuring something out that I need to be working on. And interesting, and thank you for asking that question, because I just started working with a nonprofit here yesterday. I am, through the Nevada Arts Council, bringing a 4-week Healing is Possible creative arts workshop series to these young people who are between the ages of 16 and 24. And we are already off to a fabulous start with our first meeting yesterday, and I can't wait to get back with them on Monday of next week. And having the opportunity to actually work with young people directly who on writing, because I've done a couple of workshops with the Discovery Children's Museum and had a wonderful turnout both times. But I wanted to get into something a little deeper, and like 16 to 24, that's a good age range. And we can talk about some things, and hopefully when we are finished at the end of this series, they have something tangible in hand that they can refer back to, and they have some resources that they can use to help on their journeys. Mm-hmm. So that's what it's mm-hmm. about to me.
Well, you know, I mean,
that's
one of the things. I mean, and I often think that, because when we met, it was about a program because I called Detroit Summer. We were working with kids who were 16 to 25. And I know that there were some kids who to find a safe space to where they could start to deal with and talk about and do, you know, work through some of those things. I mean, I know some who now are, you know, grown. I can't believe they're that old, but who will talk about, you know, being in that space and either with their peers or through the people who are involved, help them not repeat the trauma, break that cycle. So, you know, but they feel better where they are now. And others who understand that, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And, you know,
young people, they are just faced with so much. You know, parents are really going to have to be creative, especially working parents, in getting placement for children this summer. I really don't understand what the issue is behind and around there not being enough recreation centers open around the country. We know that parents are some are working 2 and 3 jobs, and that's leaving young people to their own devices. And art is something, you know, worth investing in into communities. so that young people are encouraged, and if they have something to occupy their time that is positive. It's very hard for me to watch the news these days, and you know, it pops up on even when I'm trying to do something else. And every other story is just heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to save us, and that is going to have to come with a whole bunch of self-determination and a whole bunch of community love and love and wanting to see better for these babies collectively.
Mm-hmm. But you know what?
So.
But when you say that, it reminds me of the Imani who was at Ruth Ellis Center when it was in that little corner place near 6 Mile and Woodward. You
mm-hmm.
got that to those young people, and you're still doing that work.
Oh, it's needed. You know, it is necessary. And I think that my love of community probably stems from my parents and what they instilled in me, because there were always kids around. And they were always lending a hand however they could. And I just think as much as we move forward with technology and this and that, that at some point we are going to have to recognize that getting back to some basics is mandatory. It's mandatory. I just love meeting fabulous young people, like those young folks I met yesterday, the young people that I work with here in Vegas. At my job, you know, they those young men, they just auntie me to death. I love it. I love it. And it's so funny because I saw a post last night that said there was some controversy around there were two black celebrities who said they absolutely do not tolerate anybody calling them auntie. And then there are other people who have said, you know, what I say, they love it. They see it as a term of endearment and affection and respect. Because
mm-hmm.
these are young people, you know, for the most part, they are extremely respectful. Maybe once every blue moon, somebody will say something, and I'll be like, son, you know, you are young enough to be my son. Keep it moving, you know. But that's very, for the most part, auntie is, but you know, endearment and respect. And so I receive that.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is funny that they don't get what they're saying. That this is a way. This is receive. I mean, you're that person, you know. But I have other people. I don't want nobody to call me. I ain't your damn auntie. Oh, what do you mean? You know, to be an auntie to our kids, who maybe
mm-hmm.
you are the person, and it means that they know that you care, that you love. You know, that you're there for them. What greater honor.
That I agree. An honor, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what moved you to put this knowledge you have into your book about root work, Triumph Over Trauma? What made you say, okay, I need to put this into a book form, and then why did you also say, well, you know what, I'm not done yet. Here's the next one coming.
Though I had published before in anthologies,
mm-hmm.
I wanted something with my name on the cover by myself.
Mm-hmm.
For selfish reasons, I wanted to have my own publication, and this is something that even from once it was conceptualized, I knew I'd be able to build on it. I've just been extremely with my hands in different projects, but there will be a workbook coming. I'm going to do a workbook for Root Work Triumph Over Trauma. And you know, everything that you want to do, if you're going to do it right, take some skill base. And so I'm working on getting that. I know I'm going to have to take a course in something to learn how to lay that out, because the layout is totally different than doing the book.
Mm-hmm.
And just the great opportunity that came with through actually a Facebook group, was the opportunity to work with a black publishing company, and they published my audiobook for free.
Mm.
So that's another $1,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they invited me. I was the first full-length author that they had taken on, and we worked together about 4 or 5 months. I do not recommend doing that at the same time you are working to, if you're self-publishing, to get everything uploaded for the print version. That was crazy to have it going on simultaneously, but we worked it out, and I appreciate them so much for the offer and for the follow-up, and we're family now. So, yeah.
With the workbook, do you see this as being something that you would do, but also that you could work with other organizations, you know, nationally, internationally, because, you know, a trauma is not centered in, hey, we got trauma.
Right.
Is this something that you see that you would like to put together?
Welcome collaborations and welcome the opportunity to expand. As I said earlier, you know, trauma is some kind of a catchword, so you got everybody offering something, because I believe everybody has a story, and everybody's story is valid. It's just, how good is your marketing, and are you reaching their target audience? And all of that just sounds really heavy to me. I believe that it will happen, and I believe that it will happen organically. Like, to say that the people that, you know, I'm supposed to cross paths with, I will, whether that's a service provider or somebody that's looking, you know, for some support for themselves or a loved one. If we're supposed to meet, we will. I kind of take that attitude, because I don't have $1 million marketing budget. I don't even have a $5,000 marketing budget right now.
Mm-hmm.
And because there are so many people doing the work, there's a wide pool to choose from. So it'll happen when it's supposed to happen on a larger scale. Until that time, I am thankful for the Nevada Arts Council and the organizations that have reached out to me through them, and that we're able to collaborate and bring art to kids, because it helps them to just be great. It does. Goodness. One of the young men yesterday, by the time we finished, he brought a picture up to me. He had sat there. While I was talking, he had drawn my picture.
Mm.
Lines and everything. I was like, okay.
Mm.
And then one of the ladies walked me out. She was like, where can I do my poetry? And, you know, she had on some bad boots. I mean, I've never seen any like it. And I said, those boots are fire. She said, I did. She said, I made the boots. She said, I drew out the picture. And then I just got on my sewing machine. So they're just talented across the board. And they just need support and accessible resources. So that I can do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that I want to do. So I really look forward to, you know, continuing the work. I just applied for another grant with the Nevada Arts Council, and it is to bring a mini one-woman show. What up, though?
Hey, Detroit.
Shenanigans and Storytelling with the Celibate Bisexual Siamani Williams. Is that long enough? But yeah. And so if I get that will help me to reach a goal I set for myself. I turned 60 on June 1st, and I wanted to do a one-woman show by my 60th birthday. But that's 7 characters. And notice how I downsized it to a mini one-woman show. We might have 4, but we're not going to have 7. That's time.
I have a question. As you think about trauma and when you're talking to people with trauma, you know, I hear many things. Which would you put first? Self-love, forgiveness, or reconciliation?
Self-love, without a doubt. Self-love. Mm-hmm. That has to be first. And here's why. If I don't love myself, like, enough to recognize that forgiveness is such a huge thing, that, like, I'm not going to put myself in a position to be so forgiving that I allow myself to be walked over.
Mm.
Yeah. So self-love first. And because I know how to love myself, and because I'm a decent human being, I'm going to treat you the way that I want to be treated. So I am able to forgive you if I can love myself first. Then we can work on the forgiveness. And it can be genuine and sincere and not fake and phony. Because who needs that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, and often reconciliation isn't necessary. You know, once you get over the self-love and you get over that hurt, you don't have to step back into that mess if it's going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. you know, I don't want, in terms of, like, when people just go over the line,
mm-hmm.
I can forgive you, but I'm not gonna mess with you again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I'm done, I'm done.
Mhm. You and me both, sis. Mm-hmm.
We ain't gotta break bread. We don't have to do none of that. I wish you the best with your life. Just
mm-hmm.
stay out of mine. That's
mm-hmm.
all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm amazed that, you know, people are able to have a huge falling out, like life changing falling out, and be best friends the next day again. Somebody lying.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody is not good self care. Like, I can forgive you and wish you the best, and we don't need to come back together ever. And I use my sister as an example. I'm good, and that
mm-hmm.
we share that.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get to just F me over and F mine over and think we're going to be cool again. Keep
mm-hmm.
that shit pushed.
Mm-hmm.
I said what I said in love.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, don't wish you any harm. Wish you all the best.
Right.
Your best.
Right. But I'm going to put my thing.
You keep your best over there.
That's right. I'm going to protect my space, and I have every right to do that unapologetically.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I say that, but if I can do that with someone I share DNA with, the rest of the world, you know, hey, get in where you fit in. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, what I've learned on this journey of celibacy is that I love me, like, and I like my company.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not bringing something to the table to add to that, you're absolutely not going to come and subtract from it. So,
you know,
my book editor, Charlene, her T-shirt that she designed says, "My piece is unavailable." Doggone right.
I love that. You know, I mean, self-love is so important. And like you said, like, sometimes when you get that self-love, you know, you can look back at all those things. And like some of the things, like you said, I'm done with it. This is not my path. But some of the things, as you learn to love yourself, can make you be the person that you are today. And it's like, you know, sometimes you just got to get through that, you know. but you have to love yourself. You have
right.
to love, you know.
And be willing to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
There is no shortcut to this. I don't know if some people have avoided the book because it has root work in the title. And, you know, they don't know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't read down root work to see it says triumph over trauma. They just focused on root work, so they don't really know what that means. But I'm really scared for some of these folks posting what they post on social media. What did I read again last night about a young lady asking about, I'll just put a trigger warning on this, about putting, adding blood to her spaghetti sauce to keep a man that she is interested in. And boy, the comment is, and so I read those for the comment sections, and you know, most people agree that, you know, you playing with that and you don't know what you're doing, you end up with a stalker who is on a murder suicide mission.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what you're doing. And if somebody wants you, they'll be there. If they not, it's okay.
It's okay.
We're not gonna chat with black magic.
Hey, you know, I remember my auntie would always tell you, you know, that I don't chase them because, hey, they're like a Woodward bus. Another one will be along to take you where you need to go. If that's not the right one, you know, just let it go, you know. Mm-mm.
All the time. Wow. All the time. And so I'm glad that I'm able to work with both young women and young men because we get to talk about relationships, and if you really need one right now, and if you need one, well, let's talk about setting some boundaries, because so many young people, more than we know, but we know because we know community, but so many people are unaware that there are kids who wake up on a Friday morning and there's $5 on the table for them to say, have a good weekend, me and so-and-so heading over to Chicago, or we heading out of town. And that
mm-hmm.
kid's supposed to set their life out with $5. Or
mm-hmm.
the little girl whose mother let her go with a 19, 20-year-old on a weekend cruise. This girl is in the 10th grade. Because
mm-hmm.
he's paying the life. So we, you know, again, interculturally, and that strikes a lot of people the wrong way. But first and foremost, I am here to help us to live better. And when I say us, I mean black people.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect to colors of community and allies who bring what they bring but are able to step back when they need to step back. Because
mm-hmm.
some of this we got to fit, period.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all us.
Okay.
There's really all the people right behind us, but I don't know that we've done a great job in preparing them for what are we facing. I mean,
mm-hmm.
look at all the lies in history books. We're still pulling up black history facts, and as I always say, we can use that social media drum for good or bad. There's so much good information out there about black people, our ancestors who fought, struggled, and died, you know, standing on the battlefield, not moving off,
mm-hmm.
so that we can do better.
I mean, and it's so important, and so much of our history, and that's why we, like you said, it's up to us. You know, I can recall, and it wasn't that many years ago, meeting a young person at Ruth Ellis Center who didn't know about Ruth Ellis.
Well, it would have helped if they had a picture of they didn't have a picture of her in the building. But that is sad. That is very sad. Like, you shouldn't. That was a living icon,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Uh-huh. And, you know, but then also I'll see people who are in the community who are of that, and they don't have anything to do with it. I said, it is up to us to
right.
tell those stories, to keep that history alive so that everyone knows. And they don't have to see the movie to know about Ruth Ellis and know that the possibilities that they have. And actually, that's what happened to this young woman. She talked to one of our elders who sat down, told her about Ruth Ellis, took her and showed her the film, and she was like, suddenly she saw that she could be a business owner, that she could live out and authentically, and, you know, that she wasn't brand new, that there had been LGBTQ people living in Detroit, celebrating, loving, and it just, like she said, it was like life-altering, that it gave a perspective.
And I talk to young people all the time because I'm passing out my business card. And because, again, there's so many people here from other places. So when I give out the wedding cards and as they are for so that I can marry you and then offer you a creative arts package, whether you are LGBTQ or 420 friendly. And and I hand those out and make sure that I let people know, like, about Ruth Ellis. Make sure they know about Blue, Black Lesbians United, that there's a retreat that goes on every year in Southern California that brings young Black lesbians together. Because they don't know. That's not what's happening in Vegas. Like, it's bad. Like, or maybe I'm just old and I really don't go out, so I don't know what's going on. But I don't see any queer events, and I've been to the LGBTQ center here, very beautiful center, beautiful. But the outreach to people of color is not happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, technically I should be giving camps over there, but I can't even get anybody to call me back. They just they're doing so much, but they're not hitting. They're missing, you know, they're missing groves of people in the process. So,
yeah, but it's not just there's so many places that I have gone to where the LGBT center, when you go, and I don't see people who look like me. Maybe one or two who might work there, usually only one. But, you know, as far as events and welcoming it, you don't see it. And, you know, that's still a mountain that we must climb, you know. There's still the mountain that we must climb and be out there and say, oh, excuse me, where's my people, you know. But
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So what...
Go ahead.
No, so what led you to this new one, 7 years in Vegas? Has it been 7 years?
It was 7 years, July 1st of last year.
Wow.
And I am actually in the process of meditation and praying on my next move. My lease is up at the end of July. I don't know if I'm coming home yet. Not sure if I'm going to stay here. Miss Brittany and family have transplanted to Ohio, so I went to see her at the beginning of March. My job transfer, so they are now in Ohio, and just the way the universe works, I know one person in Columbus, and that is a very good friend of my roommate that I came here with from L.A. that passed, Sherry. And so her friend Feather is in Columbus and came by while I was there. So I wanted them to meet because the sister just, you know, she's family and she is just good people. And you're going to take this part out because she's not out. Sorry. I forget everybody. You know, sis. Damn.
You know.
Go ahead.
Okay. You know, back in the day, you know, back in the day, when hotter in July and we were hanging and doing all this stuff, did you ever think about yourself at this point in your life?
No.
Hmm.
No, because right for me when I attended my last hotter in July, I had just lost my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so no.
Mhm.
No.
Mhm.
Now, what I didn't think is that I would be the celibate bisexual. Never, ever, 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 ever. But I tell you, I'm so glad to have done the work, because what I can guarantee you is that you'll never, ever run across me running up to you and telling you there's somebody that I was dealing with through a glass of water on me in a public restaurant. I just, you know, no, never again.
Now, like me.
I think I expected a lot more out of people that were coming to a space that gave some structure to living and being in community.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not written a lot about that, because it still kind of hurts a little bit. I'm speaking specifically of Spice, and what that organization could be doing right now and what it should be representing right now, because there is nothing out here for young women.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing except the bars and OnlyFans.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Like me, you're a grandmother now. What do you want your granddaughters, grandchildren, to look at Yaya, on Nana Shell, to look at you and say, you know, what was the strength? What did they see? What do they remember?
That I always encourage them to be their best, to be themselves, and to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you wonder, like, what happens the day when we're old enough and one of them picks up, you know, your book or even some of your poetry and read it and go like, wow.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. I believe that I've been through enough that I've earned the right to be me. And even though I'm not practicing sexually, there's so much more to the community and things we need in terms of legislation and policy. That there is still work to be done. And, you know, there's a huge difference, and I know this personally because of my mother's probate case, a huge difference in protection for citizens of Wayne County as opposed to no LGBTQ real protection in Oakland County.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
And that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. And why aren't we talking about that? Because we not only buy there, we rent there, and we work there, which mm-hmm. makes us part of the community.
Yep.
There's still so much that needs to be done, and it's a bittersweet feeling when I think about Hotter Than July, because I know what we brought to the Black community. I know what we brought to the Midwest, and I know what we brought to anybody that bothered to, you know, make footage and throw it up on YouTube. I know what we brought to the world. And
mm-hmm.
that just seems so long ago, and it has changed so much that I want to cry sometimes. Mm-hmm. I've been to a Holiday of July celebration in at least a decade. Maybe 2000, maybe 2005, 4 or 5, something like that was my last one. And it had changed significantly then. And I always wonder why more people don't get involved, because you and I know what it's like to sit in a meeting every Thursday for 3.5, 4 hours planning out something that is going to benefit the entire community. And so you then need the community to support you back, is my point. And so there should be a spot. There should be somewhere for people to go. We know what the issues are right now. We know how many people are trying to figure it out, and they deserve a safe space to do that in. I hate watching the news now. It's just story after story of assault and abuse. And 9 times out of 10, it has to do with a lack of communication. So we have to start learning how to improve interpersonal communication, especially in relationships and especially as co-parents. Like, can we keep the fact that there are children involved at the forefront?
Mm-hmm.
It's clearly that couple ain't gonna make it. Can y'all concentrate on the kids, please? Whether you're straight or gay or somewhere in between.
You know,
we gotta have some educational and some technical resources for these young people. Everybody is not going to, I don't know what the total lifespan is as for walking in a house, walking for a house. But at some point, you got to have a backup plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's expensive to walk because you need costumes and gear and makeup. So, you know, and there's a way to make it work, because as I understand, tattoo artists right now are filling up the fastest for career day presentations at high school.
Mm.
And I love it. Good. Mm-hmm. Do that, but learn how to protect yourself. Get the in and out. Figure out, you know, how long you're going to work in a shop for somebody else. Then do a really good apprenticeship, and then strike out on your own. They got the internet. They have no excuse not to thrust.
You can find out, but then also there's that part that, you know, like, find, you know, where are those ones who, maybe there's somebody who's doing it, and you can apprentice with them, and they can learn the ropes, you know? Learn the ropes.
Absolutely.
And then lift up the next one.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody needs the reminder to be patient with themselves, to allow themselves some grace. I'm trying to say a really nice way of saying, don't look for instant gratification. You got to put some time in. You got to put some time in. You know, and plan your steps. But that's part of the growth process too.
Well, Imani, as always, I love talking. You are, I would say, to the other things, I would add, not only are you words for you are passionate, community, and wise. I mean, and that comes from living. You know, that comes from living. The good, the bad, learning about self-love through the trauma. And you've got that. And you, to me, were such a great asset here in Detroit. We miss people like you. And I see that you're doing that kind of work and making that difference in Nevada. Wherever you land, I know that you will continue to do that.
Thank you. And as always, I appreciate you. Thank you for always doing the work and connecting people in community. I love you. Thank you, sis.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, I know that you're traveling. I want you to travel safely and come back in May. I look forward to seeing you.
Sounds good. Be well.
Okay, you too. And I'm looking forward to talking to you. Okay.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
I want to thank my guest, C. Amani Williams, a Detroit original, now living her best life in Las Vegas. She's a certified creative artist and holistic and wellness life coach. Amani has authored two books, Root Work, Triumph Over Trauma, and her latest, 7 Years in Vegas. We'll be back soon with more interviews of individuals living between the lines, standing boldly in the crosshairs of their intersectionality and creating change. You can support Collections by Michelle Brown Blog Radio by following on Facebook, X, and Instagram, or becoming a monthly supporter on Patreon.com. Current and past episodes of a show can be heard on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, or Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned as we continue to introduce you to more amazing individuals living between the lines, standing boldly in the crosshairs of their intersectionality and creating change right here on Collections by Michelle Brown. Thank you for listening.